Today, our chief consideration is going to be on this particular verse. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. To what end? That you might be my witnesses. Now, of course, these words were spoken to that first group of disciples, but most certainly they apply to us, to all generations of the church, and to the church in every place, that we would be his witnesses. Now, let's just acknowledge some facts first of all. And the first one is this. To witness to the truth of Jesus Christ in 21st century Scotland is no easy task. And that is because there is so much stacked against us before we even start. I wonder if you can think of some of the reasons as to why people may already have decided that they're not interested. This isn't like David Livingstone going to Central Africa in the mid-1800s and sharing the good news with people who had never heard anything about it. We are moving among people who, to one degree or another, have heard of Jesus, or think they have, and have decided, it's not for me. No thanks. What would some of the reasons be that make it difficult for us to witness to the truth of Jesus in 21st century Scotland? 1 minute discussion with your neighbour. What are some of the things that make it difficult? I wonder if you are talking about some of the things that I would offer now. Some of the possible reasons. Not in any particular order. One might be this. People say, it's not true. People think that this gospel is not true. They believe that Christianity and religion as a whole has been disproved by science or by reason. And therefore, people imagine to themselves that you have to choose either between rational and reasonable and scientific thinking or religion, as if it was either or. And you know, in part, the church has to take some of the blame for that, because through its centuries, it has often resisted science, therefore encouraging people to think that it was one or the other. When Galileo and others at that time wanted to suggest that the world was round and not flat, and that the earth orbited the sun and not the other way around, who was it that resisted the scientific discoveries? The church. So there is still the sense at large that science is what we should listen to, and therefore we can do without religion. Friends, this is nonsense. They are two completely different things. Science is attempting to ask questions which begin with how or what. A scientist can tell me with wonderful degrees of accuracy how I am made. The discovery of DNA, with Scottish scientists to the head, can explain this wonderful body that you see before you this morning. They can tell you how it's made. There's a heart which is a muscle which pumps blood around the veins and arteries, and it carries oxygen. And I have a brain which is made up of neurons and electrical pulses. Science has given us all that wonderful discovery. But don't ask a scientist, why am I here? What is the purpose of my being on this earth at all? Don't ask a scientist that, because they're not asking that kind of question. When you want to know, if you want to know why you're here, that's a faith question. So let's not go on with this science or faith. You need both. And the more the church embraces that, maybe all the less people out there will think to themselves that they've got to choose. That's why the course that we run, called the God Question, exploring the God Question, is so important. We need to get that course out there among folk who think that our faith is just not true. The second reason might be this. Folks think that religion or faith or Christianity has nothing to do with now, with the here and now. Were you watching the news coverage from Ireland over the last couple of days? Now, Ireland, traditionally, of course, a very staunchly conservative Catholic country, has just voted overwhelmingly in favour of allowing for, by an act of Parliament, same-sex marriage. And when it comes to this kind of discussion among the general populace, the perception is that the church is part of the problem. We are seen as those who hold up progress. We are seen as people who favour inequality and intolerance. Sometimes that is true. Mostly it is not true. But that is the perception at large. People are saying, times are a-changing. And you, in other words, the church, you are well and truly left behind, stuck in the past. Look at all those people holding up signs, equal. The perception is that the church is holding back equality. Now, this is a huge discussion, which I'm not entering into today. I'm just saying, the perception out there is that the church is stuck in the past. The world is moving on. Look how things have changed. So why would we be interested in an institution that is stuck in the past? Number three possible reason, or reason why it makes it difficult for us to be witnesses to our faith. This one comes from Ireland as well, interestingly, and just this last week. The perception that the church is dull and deadly boring. This week there took place in Ireland a historic meeting. Do you know, if you've ever felt to yourself that there was some situation that will never be reconciled, then I think we've just had evidence that everything is possible. Who could have seen the day that Prince Charles and Gerry Adams would have shaken hands? Notice, no hug. But a handshake was a big deal. A few years ago, that would have been unthinkable. Anyway, I was listening to a radio report the day after this had taken place, and it included the following: that this day of Prince Charles being on the west coast of Ireland had included a service. And the radio commentator said this, I'm going to quote word for word, he said this, "Actually, it was a religious service, but it was quite uplifting." Note the assumption in his commentary. He was surprised that it was uplifting in any way. He expected it to be dull and deadly boring. And the truth is that even for folk who have never set foot in a church in their lives before, they have the impression that it is dull and deadly boring. So they think it's not true. They think it has nothing to do with the 21st century. They think it's dull and deadly boring. And maybe to finish up with this one, they think it to be utterly irrelevant. In the kind of way that people would say, listen, if you want to do that on your Sunday mornings, that's fine. Most people are not actually against us. They just don't think it matters. 10 days ago, I attended a training course, Suicide Intervention and Prevention. A training course raising awareness about this mental health issue that, at its worst, works itself out in people taking their lives. In Scotland, it is worse than in any other part of the UK, particularly among young men. So I went to a training day. In that room, there were 20 healthcare, social work, mental health, psychiatrists, and so on, workers. And as part of the training, we were asked, what might help people if they were in such a place as contemplating taking their own life? And secondly, where might we refer people to? Where might we point people who were as depressed as that? Let me tell you, in all of that discussion, among all of those healthcare professionals and so on, not once did anybody mention faith, or did anybody imagine that church might be a place where I would advise people to go. Why? Because they think us to be irrelevant. Nothing to say, nothing to contribute to the real matters that everyone faces in life. That, my friends, is the perception. In the Middle East, right now, there are those who want to stamp out Christianity. Not here. Here they can just ignore us. Because we're irrelevant. Now, when you put those things together, that what we do is dull and deadly boring, that we are irrelevant, that what we believe isn't true, and that we are in the past, you begin to see why it is difficult to witness to our faith in the 21st century. You and I might see things very differently. You and I might well believe that our faith is everything to us. That it gets us up in the morning. That it motivates us. That it guides us. That it brings us love and joy and peace. But get this, folks out there don't see it. Now, we can become much smarter at sharing faith and becoming witnesses. We can become more skilled at it, perhaps more courageous. We can read books on sharing faith. We can learn more techniques. But I put it to you today that none of that will make a blind bit of difference unless two things. Here's the first. Unless there is among us a recovery of confidence in our faith. A recovery of confidence in this faith of ours. You see, if we are actually not very sure ourselves, why would others believe? Jesus came to his disciples and he gave them convincing proofs. Many convincing proofs. And that is what gave them confidence. Friends, why 2 Sundays ago did we bring to you John Wilson? To give you confidence that this faith of ours is true. That God is alive and well and at work in our world. That God, through His Holy Spirit and through the death and rising again of Christ, is the power to change lives in our world today. We brought John Wilson here 2 weeks ago as a convincing proof of the power of the gospel. Now, we need among us all a recovery of confidence that this gospel which we hold and which we build on is the power of God in this world to change and redeem this world. That's number one. Without that confidence, that belief of ours, then our faith sharing will go nowhere because we have no faith. Secondly, this, we're going nowhere unless there be among us a renewed dependence on the Holy Spirit. A renewed dependence on the Holy Spirit. Note this. After Jesus had offered his disciples convincing proofs of his being alive, even then he said to them, wait. Notice, he proved to them beyond doubt that he was alive. Right there and then they could have gone out into the world, started saying to all around, Jesus is alive, but no. Even after giving them convincing proofs, Jesus told them to wait. Wait for the gift that is coming. As if even Jesus is saying to those first disciples, you won't get anywhere until you are dependent on the Holy Spirit. And here it is. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. You will be empowered by the Holy Spirit, and then you will be my witnesses. Folks, follow the logic. There is no witnessing without the power of the Spirit. without the power of the Spirit, it's only you. And you are going to get nowhere. But even the most ordinary, everyday among us, when empowered with the Holy Spirit, becomes a witness to the truth of Jesus Christ. The empowering of the Spirit. And what was true back then remains true now. In ourselves, we can do nothing. We remain weak and ineffective. And you know those roadblocks I talked about, that people think it's not true, that they believe us to be dull and boring, that they believe us to be irrelevant. Those are the roadblocks, and we will not get past those roadblocks to sharing our faith unless empowered by the Holy Spirit. Once empowered, all things become possible. Some time ago, just chatting with Linda in our office, I said, wouldn't it be great on the day of Pentecost if we had a dove? The dove, of course, being the symbol of the Holy Spirit in the church. Now, I have ideas, but no practical solutions to make them happen. So Linda said, well, she found a dove, a blow-up one, and she said it fills with helium gas. And then Linda, being a wonderful crafter, she managed to cover it in feathers, which are actually real feathers. So this was all good to go. And this morning, Linda filled the dove, that it might soar above us this morning as a symbol of the power of the Spirit. I think the feathers are too heavy. Which is weird to say that a feather is too heavy. But poor Linda, she'd put so much into this thing. But in the end, do you know what I think it gives us? A very real illustration. Because every church and every Christian, to one degree or another, has the Holy Spirit. But unless the Spirit soars above us, unless the Spirit takes wing among us, unless the Holy Spirit is allowed to break out among us, then it's no more than a balloon that won't float. I want to be minister of a church that in the years that are coming doubles in size. I want to be minister of a church that we need to have twice as many stewards on a Sunday morning, because half of them will be outside asking people to queue in an orderly fashion. And the other half will just be in here asking people, move up, make space. Can some of you sit on the floor to give up your seats to those who are trying to come in? I want to be minister of a church that just makes the most awesome impact on this town. I want to be a minister of a church that transforms this town. I don't just want to show up here on a Sunday and sing hymns and songs, much as I love to do that. I love loads of stuff that we do in the church, but it's not enough. I don't want to give my life just to sort of running this show. I want us to be witnesses to the gospel as those first disciples were, in such a way that thousands were added to their number day by day by day. But it's not about us just trying harder. Unless the Spirit gets to fly and hover above us. Unless the Spirit is given wing among us. Unless we are empowered by the Spirit, then it's just all hard work with no end result. I don't just want to sing songs, Spirit break out. I just don't want to sing hymns, gift bestower. Pour your love into our lives. I don't just want to sing about it. I want to see it and feel it and experience it among us. In a minute we're going to sing, Breath of Life comes sweeping through us. I don't just want to sing it. I want to see it. Jane, that's your cue to go to the organ. But what good is it just to talk about the Holy Spirit being among us? It's just like a balloon that won't go up. So as we sing now, make it a prayer. A heartfelt, a spirit-longing prayer. Oh, breath of life, come sweeping through us. What's the next line? Revive your church with life and power. The power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said to his disciples, the Holy Spirit will come among you, and you will be given power, and you will be my witnesses. I don't care if it was only relevant 2,000 years ago. Unless it can be real now, I'm not interested. Come on, stand. And let's sing and pray and yearn for and long and hope for and be hungry to see among us this breath of life come sweeping through us.